Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, in the previous sessions we have analyzed and critically analyzed the collection of the Quran which is deemed to have taken place under the auspices of the Caliph Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. Now, historical books and hadiths report another collection also, if it can be called a collection at all, by the Caliph Usman or under his auspices رضي الله عنه. And in this session and in the forthcoming ones, we shall analyze the collection of the Quran narrative as has been reported in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, as indeed by other in other books as well, but primarily we'll deal with the text which is recorded in Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami' al-Sahih. And this particular narrative says that in the times of Usman رضي الله عنه, severe differences in readings had emerged amongst the Muslim community, and this was reported by his general Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman when he returned from his expeditions of fighting with the people of Syria and Iraq in the areas of Armenia and Azerbaijan. And he advised the Caliph Usman to have the Quran copied and disseminated before people start to differ even more. And so it is, the narrative says that the Caliph Usman paid heed to Huzaifah's advice, and he brought over the Mus'haf which was with Hafsa, the Mus'haf of Abu Bakr, and he had it copied to the committee of four people and then had it disseminated to various parts of his empire, and all other Mus'haf or codices were burnt. And we will I'll read out the text of this narrative and its translation, and as is the custom, then we will critically evaluate questions which arise on the text of the narrative as well as on its chain of narration. We will also look at some of the subsidiary narratives in this regard, but some of them will be right after this narrative, and others we'll look them up later on. So the text of the narrative as recorded by Imam Bukhari appears thus, and this is reported by Anas ibn Malik, and the words are أن أنس بن مالك حدثه أن حذيفة بن اليمان قادم على عثمان وكان يغازي أهل الشام في فتح إرمينيا وأذربيجان مع أهل العراق فأفزع حذيفة اختلافهم في القرات فقال حذيفة لعثمان يا أمير المؤمنين أدرك هذه الأمة قبل أن يختلفوا في الكتاب اختلاف اليهود والنصارى فأرسل عثمان إلى حفصة أن أرسلي إلينا بالصحف ننسخها في المصاحف ثم نردها إليك فأرسلت بها حفصة إلى عثمان فأمر زيد بن ثابت وعبد الله بن الزبير وسيد بن العاص وعبد الرحمن بن حارس بن حشام ونسخوها في المصاحف وقال عثمان للرحت القرشين الثلاثة إذا اختلفتم أنتم وزيد بن ثابت في شيء من القرآن فاكتبوه بلسان قريش فإنما نزل بلسانهم ففعلوا حتى إذا نسخوا الصحف في المصاحف رد عثمان الصحف إلى حفصة وأرسل إلى كل أفق بمصحف بما نسخوا وأمر بما سواه من القرآن في كل صحيفة أو مصحف أن يهرق قال ابن شهاب أخبرني خارجة ابن زيد بن ثابت سمع زيد بن ثابت قال فكدت آية من الأحزاب حين نسخنا المصحف قد كنت أسمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأها فالتمسناها فوجدناها مع خزيمة بن ثابت الأنصاري من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما أحد الله عليه فألحقناها في سورتها في المصحف. So narrated by Anas ibn Malik, Huzaifah ibn al-Jaman came over to Usman after he had been fighting alongside the people of Syria and Iraq at the time of the conquest of Armenia in Azerbaijan. Their differences in the recitation of the Quran alarmed him. So he said to Usman, O ruler of the Muslims, save this nation before they differ about the book, that is the Quran, as Jews and Christians did before. So Usman sent a message to Hafsa saying, send us the suhuf of the Quran so that we copy them out in Masahif and then return them to you. Hafsa sent them to Usman. Usman then ordered Zayd ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Sayyid ibn al-As, and Abdul Rahman ibn al-Haris to copy the suhuf in Masahib. So they copied them. Usman told the three Quraysh men, in case you disagree with Zayd ibn Thabit or on any point in the Quran, write it in the dialect of the Quraysh, as the Quran has been revealed in their dialect. they did so. And when they had copied the Suhuf in Masahif, Usman returned the Suhuf to Hafsa. Usman sent to every territory one copy of what they had copied and ordered that all other Suhuf and Masahif be burnt. Ibn Shahab Zuhri narrated from Kharijat ibn Zayd, who narrated from Zayd ibn Sabit, I did not find a verse from Surah Ahzab when we made copies of the Quran, and I used to hear God's Prophet reciting it. So we searched for it and found it with Khuzaymah ibn Sabit, and the verse was, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ And we, which is of course the 23rd verse of Surah Ahzab, we inserted this verse at its place in its surah in the Mus'haf. So viewers, this is a simple translation of the narrative. In addition, there is another narrative which is recorded by Imam Tirmizi, which says that at this juncture, when this Quran was being copied, there is a difference of opinion which arose between the script of writing a certain word. And I'm going to read out that narrative before you from Imam Tirmizi. He says, قَالَ الزُّهْرِي فَاخْتَلَفُوا يَوْمَئِذٍ فِي التَّابُوتِ وَالتَّابُوتِ فَقَالَ الْقَرْشِيُّونَ التَّابُوتِ وَقَالَ زَيْدُ التَّابُوتِ فَرُّفِعَ إِخْتَلَافُهُمْ إِلَىٰ عُثْمَانِ فَقَالْ أُكْتُبُوهُ التَّابُوتِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَلَ بِلِسَانِ قُرَيْشِ It says that Ibn Shahab Zuhri said, on that day, they differed between التابوت and التابوه. The three Quraysh members of the committee opined that التابوت is the correct script of the word, while Zayd said that it was التابوه. So the difference is clear. The first had a ta at the end, the other has a ha at the end. So the word is تابوت or تابوه. Their difference of opinion, as the narrative says, their difference of opinion was referred to Usman, who said, write a tabut with a tha, write a tabut, because the Quran has been revealed in the dialect of the Quraysh. Now, it also needs to be noted that besides these two narratives I just read out, there is another set of narratives, independent narratives, which regard that there was this verse of Surah Ahzab which was absent. So the previous, the complete narrative which I read out earlier had a part of that, had the last part which said that the Surah Ahzab verse was missing, and it was part of that original narrative, though it was made part in a certain manner. However, we have independent narratives as well, which complete chains of narration, which tell us that a certain verse of Surah Ahzab was missing at this time. And I'm now going to read one of those. And this one that I'm reading is again recorded by Imam Bukhari. And this again is from Zayd ibn Sabit. So, and as we said earlier on, that it is reported from his son, Kharijat ibn Zayd. So Kharijat ibn Zayd reports this from his father. And the words are, And Zayd ibn Sabit qal, لَمَّا نَسَخْنَا الصُّحُفِ الْمَسَاحِ فَقَدْتُ آيَةً مِنْ سُورَةِ الْأَحْزَابِ كُنْتُ أَسْمَعُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقْرَأُهَا لَمْ أَجِدْهَا مَا أَحَدٍ إِلَّا مَا خُزَيْمَةَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَهَادَتَهُ شَهَادَةَ رَجُلَيْنِ And of course, then he reads out the verse, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ This is, again is the 23rd verse of Surah Ahzab. So, the translation of this is that Zayd ibn Sabit said, when we copied the Suhuf in Masahif, I did not find a verse from Surah Ahzab, which I used to hear from Allah's Prophet. I did not find it with anyone except with Khuzaymah ibn Sabit, whose witness was regarded by the Prophet to carry double weight. And then the verse, of course, is read out, which is, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ And this is, as I said, recorded in the Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Bukhari. So here is this is the data that we are going to first analyze and see how it holds to the test of historical and hadith criticism. Now, needs to be first understood that we will first take up the questions or criticisms which arise on the text of the narrative. Now, first of all, I'd like to point out that the first and most important criticism which this narrative invites is that the way in which it has been reported and recorded in history shows that it is a highly improbable event the way it took place as recorded in this particular narrative. Now, there are a number of aspects to this. The first of these aspects is that it's a gharib narrative, as was the case with the narrative which we previously studied and analyzed, which is the narrative of Caliph Abu Bakr, the way the collection of the Quran is reported to have taken place in his times. Very similarly, we find that this narrative too is gharib, and we know when I say a gharib narrative, it is a narrative in which in any one tier of its report, we find that there is only a single individual present. In this case, we find that in the first two tiers of this report, it is reported by single personalities. So it is reported by Anas ibn Malik in the first tier, and from Anas ibn Malik, the person to report it is Ibn Shahab al-Zuhri. Now, according to Mizzi, we know that Anas ibn Malik died around 93rd Hijrah, which at the age of about 103 years, and he had well over 200 students. So Anas ibn Malik was one of the longest living companions, if not the most longest, because it is generally, some people say that he was the last companion to die. So Anas ibn Malik, who died in 93 Hijrah, he crossed the 100 mark. So he had over 200 students, and to be precise, he had 229 students as required by Hafiz Mizzi. So amongst these students, there is only one person, and that is Ibn Shahab Zuhri reporting from him. So this is obviously something which is quite grave and calls the whole thing into question. So therefore we have Anas ibn Malik reporting it, whereas the nature of this event is such that it should have been reported by other people as well. Obviously when such differences arise, as was the case in this, as the case in this narrative has been reported, the nature and the way in which the copies of the Quran were made and then sent to various parts of the empire and other copies were burnt, it is an event which calls for its transmission from various people. But we find just a single person, and Anas ibn Malik reporting it, and from him again a single person, Ibn Shahab Zuhri, reporting it. So in two tiers we find this narrative to be reported by single individuals, which of course casts doubt on its provenance and authenticity. The second thing which makes this narrative improbable is the fact that, as pointed out by Tamanna Imadi, that two premier hadith books are absolutely devoid of this narrative. One of them is the Muwatta of Imam Malik, and the other one is Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Muslim. Now, its omission from both these books of hadith is very grave, because we know that Ibn Shahab Zuhri was a teacher of Imam Malik. We have many narratives in the Muwatta of Imam Malik from him, and it is strange that this narrative has not been recorded. More strange is the fact that we do find information regarding the various aspects of the Quran being recorded in the Muwatta of Imam Malik in a certain section. And I have already pointed that out in some of my previous sessions when we were talking about the narrative of the collection of the Quran under the Caliph Abu Bakr. And we saw that there are various narratives in that section, but we do not find any collection narrative regarding the Caliph Usman or any role in having the Quran copied the way this narrative speaks of here. Similarly, we find that this narrative, as pointed out by Tamanna Imadi, is not present in the Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Muslim, as I just said. And again, this omission is also very grave, because here again we find that there are many narratives in which the personality of Ibn Shahab Zuhri figures, but again, this narrative is not found, in spite of the fact that there are places in this book, as has been pointed out in some of my earlier talks, which tell us that there were places in which the narratives regarding the Quran have been recorded. But again, like the collection of the Quran narrative under Abu Bakr, this narrative also is not found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And we also know that the standards of reporting or recording a report of Imam Muslim are not as stringent as that of Imam Bukhari. So it is strange that Imam Muslim has not recorded it. So all in all, this again casts doubt on the origin of this event, whether it took place or not, the way it has been recorded, because Imam Muslim, Imam, and Imam Malik both do not record this narrative. Another thing which needs to be understood here is that two premier histories also do not record this narrative, as pointed out by Tamanna Imadi. According to him, the Tabriz Tariq and Ibn al-Aziz al-Kamil fit Tariq do not have this narrative recorded. Here I'd like to correct one part of Tamanna's information, although he's correct in surmising the fact that this narrative is not found in Tabri, but he's not correct in pointing out the fact that this narrative is also not found in al-Kamil fit Tariq of Ibn al-Asir. It is in fact found in al-Kamil fit Tariq, and it is recorded there, and perhaps Tamanna missed it out. However, as I said, he's right about the fact that this is not found in the Tariq of Tabri. And even more grave is the fact, which perhaps he's missed again, is that this narrative, the way it has been recorded here, is also not found in the Tabqat of Ibn Sa'd, one of the earliest books of Muslim history. So the way it has been recorded here, the contents as they are mentioned here, we do not found it in the earliest books of Muslim history. And this again casts a further doubt on the providence of the whole event. Again, as I said, viewers, we have to look back and find out and see that we are at the moment discussing the fact that the gravest and the most serious question that arises on this narrative is the way it has been reported in history shows that it is highly improbable that it took place. We've seen some of the things in this particular session which show that the way it has been recorded in this narrative perhaps is something which cannot be fully established. Now, not only this, let me further substantiate this point by saying that I'll read out some parts of the biographical notes of the six important personalities which figure in this narrative from the earliest history books of Muslims. And from there we can also see that all these historical biographical notes which provide us with information about the five or six personnel which are found in this narrative, they provide us very minute details at times, but in neither of these cases do we find the presence of any information which says that the Caliph Uthman had any role in having this committee of four people constituted and then having the Quran brought over from Hafsa radiallahu anha and having it copied and then being disseminated to all parts of his empire and then having burnt all the rest. Neither is there any information regarding the missing verse of Surah Ahzab at this time. So this obviously is meant to further substantiate the fact that this whole event, the way it has been recorded in history, in hadith books, in particular Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami al-Sahih, this is something which is very, very improbable. So let me start off by reading out to you or by letting you know that the first person that I'll discuss is Uthman ibn Affan. And I'll start off with the fact that Ibn Sa'd gives a detailed biographical note on Uthman, but there are no details whatsoever to the fact that he had taken some step to resolve the differences in reading the Quran, a feat which should have found mention in this biographical note. Obviously, if this is something which he had done, it's hard to perceive the fact that it was missed by a historian of the stature of Ibn Sa'd. Now, such details are mentioned in his as his ancestors and family, his acceptance of Islam, and the way he was persecuted for it. He later migrated to Abyssinia. The Prophet left him in charge of Medina when he left for the battle of Zat al-Riqa. Details of his clothes, physical appearance are recorded. His succession to Umar, radiallahu anhu, and pledge of allegiance by the masses is also described in some detail. Also depicted are the details of rebellion against him and his assassination. And also recorded is the fact that he would read the whole of the Quran in a single rakat. Obviously something which is very miraculous and if at all true. And the details of the inheritance he left, his burial and funeral ceremony is also described in some detail. And also described, also recorded are the remarks of other companions of the Prophet about him. So I have just mentioned these details to just surmise the fact that in spite of all these details, we do not find any mention of any collection of the Quran being taken place the way it has been described in this narrative of Imam Bukhari. However, viewers, we need to concede the fact that in the biographical note of Ubay ibn Ka'b, in the biographical note not of Uthman, but of Ubay ibn Ka'b, we find that Ibn Sa'd has recorded on the authority of Muhammad ibn Sirin that Uthman had gathered 12 people to have the Quran collected. So there is this report. Again, it is appearing in the biographical note of Ubay ibn Ka'b. We'll just presently see whether this report has any provenance or whether it is authentic. But let me point out that we find this report in a different manner, not in the way it has been recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, but in a different manner, in a different with different details. The note says, this report says that Zayd and Ubay were among those 12 people. So it is said that Uthman gathered 12 people to have the Quran collected, and Zayd ibn Thabit and Ubay ibn Ka'b were among those people, among those 12 people. And it may be noted that there is a great discrepancy in the year of death of Ubay ibn Ka'b. According to Ibn Abdul Barr, as recorded by Ibn Hajar in his Isaba, the majority of the scholars believe that Ubay died in the times of the Caliph Umar, either in 19 Hijra or 22 Hijrah, which of course would mean that this is not correct, that he would have been present in the times of Usman, because we know that Usman assumed charge after the Caliph Umar. And a Zahabi record that some scholars like Waqidi do opine that he died in 32 Hijrah. However, Al-Waqidi too admits that he has heard from Ubay's family that the latter died in 22 Hijrah. And this is what he says. And Zahabi in his Sirr al-A'lam in Nubala has also challenged the narrative on the basis of which Al-Waqidi has formed this opinion and regarded the narrative as Mursal and said that had this been the case, it would have been famous that Ubay had written the Quran in the times of Usman. Whereas what is famous in this regard is Zaid's name. Zahabi goes on to say that Ubay's death was in the times of Umar. So obviously if this is established that Ubay had died in the time of Umar, then this narrative just cannot be, this cannot be in any way believed. And we also know that Muhammad ibn Sirin, who was a person who could not have reported this narrative because he was not present in those times, and therefore this narrative has to be Mursal. But I would like to add here that there is this narrative, this version of this narrative, which is not Mursal and which is Muttasil and which is recorded by Ibn Abi Dawud in his Kitab al-Musayyib. Let me read out this narrative to you, and then we'll see how this too stands up to the tests of historical criticism or not. This is reported by Kasir ibn Afla. And Muhammad ibn Sirin actually reports from him. And he says, لَمَّا أَرَادَ عُثْمَانَ أَنْ يَكْتُبُ الْمَصَاحِفِ جَمَلَهُ إِسْنَيْ عَشَرَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ وَالْأَنْصَارِ فِيهِمْ أُبَيُّ بْنُ كَعْبٍ وَزَيْدُ بْنُ ثَابِتٍ قَالَ فَبَعَثُوا لِلرُّبْعَةِ الَّتِي فِي بَيْتِ عُمَرَ فَجِيءَ بِهَا قَالَ وَكَانَ عُثْمَانُ يَتَعَاهَدُهُمْ فَكَانُوا إِذَا تَدَارَؤُوا فِي شَيْءٍ أَخَّرُوهُ قَالَ مُحَمَّدٌ فَقُلْتُ لِكَثِيرٍ وَكَانَ فِيهِمْ كان فيهم في من يكتب هل تدرون لما كانوا يؤخرون قال محمد فظننت ظنا انما كانوا يؤخرونها لينظروا احدثهم احدا بالعرض الاخيره فيكتبونها على قولي. So a simple translation of this narrative would be that Muhammad ibn Sirin reports from Kasir ibn Afla, who said when Usman resolved to write the Mus'haf, he gathered 12 men from the Quraysh and Ansar. Ubay ibn Ka'b and Zayd ibn Thabit were among them. They sent for the bundle of Masaya, which was in the house of Umar. It was brought over, and Usman was overseeing their whole project. Then, if they would differ from among themselves about anything, they would defer it. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, I asked Kasir ibn Afla, and he was among those who wrote out the Quran. So what he asked was, do you know why they would defer it? He said, no. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, I think it was because they wanted to find someone who would be closest in time to the Al-Arza Al-Akhira, and they would then write according to what he told them. So this is what this narrative say. And as I said, this is the Muttasil form of this narrative. It is actually marfu. It goes right up to the person who actually saw who was part of this whole endeavor, which is Kasir ibn Afla. However, as you can see on your screens, viewers, we need to analyze the chain of narration of this narrative as well. It has been reported by Kasir ibn Afla, as I said, from him Muhammad ibn Sirin reports, as you can see on your screens, and from there on we find other people reporting this narrative. Now, this narrative obviously needs to be analyzed, its chain of narration. First of all, it needs to be understood that it suffers from the following flaws, some of the flaws that I'm going to point out, and hence it cannot be relied upon. Ibn Hajar in his Lisan al-Mizan writes about Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, who is known as Shazan. He also is found in the chain of narration, as you can see. Lahu manakir wa gharaib, which means that he reports narratives which are absolutely unique and strange in their content. So Abu Bakr ibn Ayash, about Abu Bakr ibn Ayash, who also figures in this chain, Azhabi records, he is Sadukun Saptun in Qirat. Obviously, he is very truthful and highly regarded in matters of reading, of recital, the Quran. However, in Hadith, Yaghlatu wa Yahimu, he makes mistakes and he errs. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Numayr regards him to be weak. Abu Nu'aym says that none of their shuyukh make more errors than Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash. Ahmad ibn Hanbal says that he is trustworthy, yet at times makes errors. Another opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal about him is that he makes many mistakes, however, his books are free from error. Yahya ibn Sa'id is reported to have said that had Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash been near him, he would never have asked anything from him. And it is also reported that he would not regard Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash to be of any stature. And when his name would be mentioned before him, he would contort his face. Now, Abu Ubaidah, Mujah ibn Zubair, is also suspect. He's also found in the chain of narration. Ibn Hajar records in his Lisan al-Mizan that al-Darqutni regards him to be Zaif. Uqayli has mentioned him in his Az-Zu'afa. Shobah would not trust him. Ibn Khaddash says that he is Laysa mimman yu'tabaru bihi, which means that he's not amongst those on whom one can rely upon. So, viewers, you can see, if I summarize this point, that there are basically two narratives in the Tabqat of Ibn Sa'd under the biographical note of Ubay ibn Ka'b. The first of them, of course, is there. The first of them is reported by Muhammad ibn Sirin, and therefore it is a mursal narrative because he could not have been a witness to these events. And therefore this narrative stands questionable. And the second narrative which mentions this narrative, or the second narrative which mentions this collection is reported by Kasir ibn Afla, from whom Muhammad ibn Sirin reports, and therefore this narrative does not suffer from the flaw of being mursal, because it is reported by Kasir ibn Afla, who was one of the people who had written the Quran. But we have just seen how this narrative suffers from various flaws because of the presence of some of the other personnel. So all in all, both these narratives, as far as their chains of narration are concerned, they cannot be relied upon. And please do remember the fact we had already discussed that besides these two flaws, the another flaw which is found in this these two narratives is that they report the existence of Ubay anhu in the times of the Caliph Usman being involved in the collection of the Quran. And we have seen that the majority opinion of the Muhaddisun in this regard is that Ubay had already died in the times of the Caliph Umar, Rizala Anhu. So he could not have been involved in any sort of collection in the times of the Caliph Usman. So these two very strong objections actually rule out the possibility that this particular story or this particular version that Usman had gathered 12 people from the Quraysh and the Ansar, and among those were Zayd and Ubay, who was found among them. This particular version of the collection of the Quran, as found in the Tabqat of Musad, is also stands questionable. Now, let me recap the fact that we are at the moment discussing the biography of the Caliph Usman ibn Affan amongst earliest Muslim sources, so as to find out that what endeavor or what role he had to play in the collection of the Quran or the copying of the Quran. And so far we have found out that there is no such role that he played, and the narrative is a different sort of narrative which says that he did play, so it is absolutely a weak narrative. Now, let me also surmise the fact that Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Fazail al-Sahaba records narratives which depict various distinguishing features and achievements of Usman ibn Affan. So, Fazail al-Sahaba is a very important book by Ahmad ibn Hanbal because it describes the biographies of the earliest companions, of the earliest people of Islam. And he records a narrative which speaks of his adeptness in the discipline of distribution of inheritance, which is the ilm al-faraid. Another speaks of his great love for reading the Quran. Another portrays how he would cry when standing by a grave. Still another mentions as minute a detail as the fact that he took a bath every day ever since he accepted Islam. It is strange that in spite of all these details that are mentioned by Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Fazail al-Sahaba, he does not mention that he had any role in the copying out of the Quran in his times. Khalifa ibn Khayyat in his Tariq mentions details of the reign of Usman, but nowhere does he mention that Usman had any role in the copying out of the Quran in his times. Similarly, another book, Al-Ma'arif of Ibn Qutaybah, he also gives a somewhat detailed note on Usman and mentions various events in his times. But he too does not mention any role of Usman in this copying out of the Quran in his times, as is reported by Imam Bukhari's narrative, which I just said. So viewers, I'll content myself here in this episode. And in the next episode, we'll continue this journey in which we are actually discussing the personnel which are found in this narrative. And we are discussing how their biographical notes and earliest works of Muslim history show whether Usman ibn Affan or these personnel had any role to play. I just referred to the fact that there are six people in this personnel, and we have just discussed the biography of Usman at the moment. The remaining five we'll discuss in the next episode, and then of course we'll continue on with other points of critique on this narrative. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.